Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk about the Russian economy. The full year figures have now been released for 2022, which show that Russia incurred a deficit of 3.3 trillion rubles in the year, which equates to around $47 billion. So in today's episode, we'll go through the 2022 figures for Russia in a bit more detail, have a look at what's driven that deficit. We'll then have a look at what's going on right now with regards to the export of Russian oil, where that oil is going to, what's happening with regards to the volumes, what's going on with regards to shipping capacity, because the oil price cap was also introduced by the EU on the 5th of December, which limits the amount that Russia is able to sell its oil for. And if it tries to sell oil above a certain level, that means that it won't have access to any shipping services or actual vessels that are coming from the West. So that's having an implication on Russia's exports. We'll then have a look at the price of Russian oil, because it's actually trading at a discount to the $60 cap that was introduced by the EU. And then we'll go on to have a look at the Russian budget for 2023. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is likely to happen over the course of 2023 in terms of Russia's revenues and costs, and what the implications of that will be for the Russian budget, and also where it's going to be able to fund everything from, and what the implications of this are for the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, I'd really appreciate it. Please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters, so if you don't have time to watch everything, you can pick and choose what you'd like to see. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. And once again, I'd like to say thank you so much to everyone that has supported the channel. I genuinely appreciate it. Russia has announced a 3.3 trillion ruble deficit for 2022, which is the single highest deficit in any year in the post-Soviet era if we exclude the 2020 COVID-19 pandemic. Total revenue was actually up by 10% compared with 2021. However, this was more than offset by an increase of 25.6% in costs as a direct result of the war in Ukraine.
More than 10 months into a war that he hoped to wrap up in days, President Putin is preparing his people for a long and costly battle.
We have no limits when it comes to financing. The country, the government, gives the army everything it asks for.
It's not just the high-tech drones and tanks or the new frigate loaded with hypersonic missiles. According to an estimate in July from British think tank RUSI, at the height of the fighting in the Donbass, Russia was burning through more ammunition in 2 days than the British military has in stock. The impact of that clearly showing up in the Russian budget.
Now, the main driver for the increase in revenues during 2022 was the spike in oil and gas prices that occurred following Russia's invasion of Ukraine, which enabled Russia to partially offset the discounts that it was having to offer in the international markets to persuade countries like China and India to take more volumes. However, in the second half of the year, we've seen a fall in oil prices, and these discounts have continued, and this is now causing Russia problems. And going through into 2023, it's expected that oil and gas revenues will fall significantly as the discounts continue and the ban on European purchases of all of these products kicks in. And the trend for falling revenue and increasing costs can clearly be seen in the results for December for Russia. In the month of December, total expenditure equated to 6.9 trillion rubles, which represented around 22% of the total annual spend, compared to around 17% in 2021, so a marked increase. And the budget deficit for December was 3.9 trillion rubles, as a result of revenues increasing by 4.9% in the month, but expenditure increasing by a whopping 43%. And the vast majority of this expenditure related directly to the conflict in Ukraine. And in terms of funding this deficit, Russia has had to issue more debt and also draw down on its national wealth fund. During 2022, the Russian Ministry of Finance placed federal loan bonds totaling 3.1 trillion rubles, and in the month of December raised 1.44 trillion rubles worth of debt. In addition to these loans, 2 trillion rubles was drawn down from the National Wealth Fund. And concerns are now rising that both of these factors will drive up inflation, which is currently sitting at 11.9% in Russia. Now, before we go on any further today, I'd like to talk to you about today's sponsor, Blinkist. Now, I would bet that one of the reasons that you watch my channel is that I pull together lots and lots of information from all different sources, amalgamate it, and then deliver it to you in an easy-to-listen-to format. And the Blinkist app does exactly this. The Blinkist app has over 5,500 non-fiction books and podcasts in its collection, and you can learn everything about those in less than 15 minutes. 2023 is the perfect opportunity to become the person that you'd like to be. And Blinkist can help give you a roadmap to becoming that better version of yourself. And one thing that I've been using Blinkist for is to expand my investment strategies. Since Blinkist first contacted me, I've been using the app. And whilst you can read the summaries either on your phone or your tablet or your PC, you can also listen to audio versions. And that's absolutely fantastic because it allows you to do that whilst you're doing other things. And the very first book that I used this app for was Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki, which was a book that I'd been meaning to read for a long time, but never actually found the time to get round to doing it.
Welcome to Blink Number One. Before we get to the famous financial lessons, I'm going to tell you a story. The story of 9-year-old Robert Kiyosaki.
But within 15 minutes of using the Blinkist app, I knew all of the key takeaways from that book. And since then, I've been working my way through all of his other recommendations. And a really great feature that Blinkist offers is Blinkist Connect, whereby you can share your account with another person. So that could be your partner or your friend or anybody you like. So it's basically a 2-for-1 deal. And Blinkist is currently offering Joe Blogs viewers a 7-day free trial and 25% off membership by clicking on the link below. So why don't you give it a try? This chart shows the estimated total revenue for Russia from fossil fuel exports between January and November 2022, which is the last month that we have detailed figures for. And this chart is split out into 5 different products. The blue section at the bottom represents crude oil. The black section represents pipeline gas, which was predominantly supplied to Europe. The grey section represents refined oil products, such as gasoline and diesel. The red section is coal, and the green section is liquefied natural gas. So the first thing to note from this is that the vast majority of revenue comes from oil products. Around 50% of revenue comes from crude oil, and around 20% comes from refined products. Now, if we look at the revenue profile, in January, Russia earned around 763 million euros per day from the sale of all of its fossil fuels. However, that figure jumped to 879 million in February, and then jumped again to over 1 billion euros per day in March. And as you can see, the main driver for that increase in March was a huge increase in the sale of pipeline gas to Europe. So this was immediately following the introduction of the first round of sanctions that had been applied by Europe against Russia. And all of the European countries realised that they had a huge dependence on Russian gas and that they didn't have anywhere near enough gas in storage. And so there was a large surge in demand as European countries desperately tried to fill their storage capacity. And that surge in demand continued. However, at the end of March, President Putin announced that all unfriendly nations, so basically most of Europe, had to make all of their future payments for natural gas in rubles. Some countries refused to do that, such as Bulgaria and Poland, and they had their supplies cut off overnight. And although demand for gas remained high, we saw a reduction in the amount of gas being sold by Russia compared to the amount it had sold in March. And as a result, the total revenue that Russia was earning reduced to 958 million euros per day in April, 931 million in May, 854 million in June, and 861 million in July. Now, up until this point, the price of oil and gas in the markets was extremely high. However, from July onwards, concerns started to rise about a slowdown in the global economy. The high levels of inflation that we'd seen in the first half of the year, which were partially driven by the increase in oil, gas, and commodity prices as a result of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, had resulted in increases in interest rates all across the world. And these increases in interest rates had raised the price of debt, and we started to see a global slowdown. So the price of oil and gas and other commodities started to drop in the second half of the year. And this started to have a direct impact on the total amount of revenue that Russia was earning, particularly as a result of the fact that Russia was continuing to have to offer a discount in the international markets to persuade people to buy its products. And as a result of these falling prices, Russia has seen a significant reduction in its total revenues in October and November, which dropped to 704 million euros per day and 727. Now, November represents a really interesting month because it was the month before the European ban on seaborne exports of Russian crude oil kicked in. This chart shows the monthly change in import volumes from Russia in November 2022. And in terms of the colour coding, black represents coal, light red represents refined oil products, yellow represents liquefied natural gas, purple represents crude oil, and dark red represents pipeline gas. And the way that this chart has been constructed, it's measuring the value in millions of euros. The far left-hand side of the bottom axis represents a drop of 25 million euros in volumes. The zero line represents status quo against the month of October. And then we have a scale showing an increase in import volumes up to 50 million euros per day. So if we start off by looking at the bar across the bottom, the blue dot represents the total change in the month. So you can see that there was a considerable increase in the import of Russian fossil fuels during November, which came in at around 40 million euros more per day. And if you look at the breakdown, you can see that the vast majority of that increase related to crude oil and refined oil products. There was also an increase in coal imports, and these increases were partially offset by a decrease in liquefied natural gas. Now, if we jump to the top of this chart, you can see that the EU was actually the region that increased its imports the most in November, which at face value seems surprising. However, as the official ban didn't kick in until the 5th of December, some European countries took the opportunity to make last-minute purchases at discounted prices from Russia. And you can see that the two biggest buyers from Europe are shown at the top of this chart, being Germany and Italy. China increased its purchase of oil and coal products. However, there was a huge reduction in LNG during the month. And in terms of the other European countries that took the opportunity for a last-minute purchase of Russian products, Spain significantly increased its purchase of oil and LNG. There was a large increase in pipeline gas from Austria. However, this is actually authorised by the EU because Austria is having problems being able to get sufficient alternative supplies. And the United Kingdom also bought oil products from Russia. However, some European countries did reduce their purchases from Russia during the month, including Poland, Slovakia, Romania, and Bulgaria. But the reason that I wanted to highlight these purchases is that November is the last month that European countries are permitted to import crude oil from Russia over the sea. And so this represents a last hurrah from Russia's perspective. And going forward, these purchases will not be repeated. So the November figures are overinflated because there were these last minute purchases being made. This chart shows the largest importers of Russian fossil fuels since the start of the invasion on the 24th of February. And as you can see, the biggest single purchaser over that period has been the EU, which has purchased around 125 billion euros worth of fossil fuels. The second largest buyer was China, with around 50 billion euros. Turkey was number three with just over 20 billion. India number four with just under 20 billion. And then we have much smaller contributors such as South Korea, Japan, Egypt, Malaysia, UAE, and the United States. And what's really interesting about this chart is the vast majority of these purchasers have now sanctioned Russia. So the EU's been in a difficult situation during the latter part of 2022 because it wanted to stop buying Russian fossil fuels. However, it was limited by the fact that a lot of countries were dependent upon natural gas for the production of electricity and also for use in industrial purposes and supplied directly to consumers. So it's been very difficult for the EU to be able to break away from that relationship, but all of the infrastructure is now being put into place to be able to stop buying that natural gas. And the same applies to Russian oil. The EU was entirely dependent on cheap, easy supplied Russian oil, which came through pipelines. It's now starting to break away from that. So the official ban was introduced on the 5th of December for seaborne crude oil. On the 5th of February, the refined oil products also come into that ban, and the pipeline gas is being reduced dramatically. So during the course of 2023, the amount of fossil fuels being purchased from Russia by the EU is going to fall dramatically. And you can see the challenge that Russia is now facing, because it needs to replace all of those sales that it's been making to the EU with all of these other countries. And one of the problems that it has is that out of these countries, it's only really China, Turkey and India that are the main markets, because South Korea, Japan and the United States have all partaken in the sanctions. So Russia needs to see a significant increase in the volume of sales to China and India just to replace the 125 billion euros worth of sales that it made to the EU during the course of 2022. And this chart shows the top importers of Russian fossil fuels in the 7 days between the 26th of December and the 1st of January 2023. And you may be surprised to see that the biggest single importer during that week was the EU. So despite the sanctions and the EU oil ban, which kicked in on the 5th of December, the EU is still the biggest single customer and is still buying more than €1 billion worth of fossil fuels from Russia every single week. And if we look at the breakdown of this chart, you can see that more than half of that revenue is coming from pipeline gas. Around 25% is coming from seaborne oil products, and the other 25% is coming from pipeline oil. Now, as I mentioned earlier, most of the countries of Europe are currently working on infrastructure to be able to replace the pipeline gas from Russia with alternative supplies, liquefied natural gas that will be delivered into ports, regasified and fed into the pipeline structure. So going forward into 2023, it's likely that this revenue from pipeline gas will reduce every single month as more and more capacity comes online. Now, with regards to the black section of this graph, which represents refined oil products that are still being delivered by sea, the ban on those products kicks in on the 5th of February. So at the moment, all European countries are entitled to keep buying those products directly from Russia. However, from the 5th of February onwards, that ban will be enforced and these revenues will disappear entirely. So going forward into 2023, it's really only the oil that's being provided by pipelines, which is still authorised by the EU because a number of countries are landlocked and having difficulty actually getting alternative supplies. It's only really that revenue which will continue. So this represents another major problem for Russia because they're going to lose around €800 million of revenue per week that they're currently selling into the EU. And it's going to be difficult to actually replace that because the majority of that income is coming from pipeline gas and Russia simply don't have enough infrastructure in place to be able to convert that pipeline gas into LNG, which it could then export to India and the rest of Asia. This chart shows the volume of crude oil being shipped from Russia in thousands of tons per day, dating back to January 2022. And the color coding here, the red section at the bottom are shipments to China. The blue section is the EU, the yellow section represents India, the grey section other countries, the blue section at the top Turkey, the dark blue section the USA, and the red section at the top is unknown destination. So what this chart shows is that back in January 2022, Russia was exporting around 475,000 tons of crude oil per day. Those volumes actually increased to around 550,000 tons per day through the months of May, June and July. And we've then seen a couple of peaks, including a peak in November of almost 600,000 tons per day, which relates to the chart that we just looked at, whereby a lot of the European countries were buying on their last chance. This was their only opportunity to buy Russian oil at a big discount. And then the dashed line at the end of this chart represents the 5th of December, which is the point when the European Union enforced the ban on the purchase of all seaborne crude oil. And you can see from that moment onwards, there has been a large reduction in the export of crude oil to the EU, the blue section at the bottom. It hasn't actually gone to zero because any orders that were placed before the 5th of December were able to be fulfilled. So a lot of countries could order on the 4th of December and take delivery of that stock at some point during January. But you can see that the overall impact of the reduction of purchases from the EU has led to a total volume reduction. And the total volumes are now down to around 450,000 tons per day. And the big challenge for Russia is that they're going to need to replace all of the sales that they were making to the EU. If you look at this chart, you can see that the blue section is the majority of the sales that Russia have made during 2022. They're going to have to replace all of those lost sales with additional sales to all of these other countries. And if we now look at the same statistics for refined oil products, you can see that the vast majority of all of the Russian sales have been made to the EU. And those sales are currently ongoing because the ban on EU purchase of refined oil products doesn't actually take effect until the 5th of February. So if we were to roll this graph forward for another 6 months, we would see the blue section diminishing and disappearing in the same way as it has for crude oil products once we get to the 5th of February. And that represents a major challenge for Russia because it's still dependent on the EU for all of this revenue. And this chart shows the movement in the price of Russian oil dating back to January 2022. Now, as you'll be fully aware if you follow the channel, Russia has had to sell its oil at a discount since the invasion of Ukraine. A lot of countries don't want to buy Russian oil. We've got the sanctions that are in place, and we've now obviously got the European official ban on seaborne crude oil. Now, as a result of all of those factors, Russia has been offering large volumes at discounts to countries such as China and India. Now, the other thing that happened on the 5th of December was that the European Union introduced an official oil price cap of $60 on all Russian exports. Now, Russia has refused to accept that oil price cap and has actually introduced a ban on selling oil to any country that adopts the oil price cap. So they're basically trying to ignore it entirely. But what's really interesting to note is that since that oil price cap was introduced, the price of Russian oil has actually fallen below $60 and is now trading at somewhere in the region of $50. And actually, there are a lot of reports that deals are being done below $40 at the moment. And of course, this is having a massive impact on Russia's revenues, because as we just saw, the volume of their oil has been reducing over the course of the last 6 months, at the same time as the price has been reducing. You can see from this chart that the price has come down from around $100 per barrel back in June to around $50 now. So that represents a 50% fall in the price. But when you combine that fall with a fall in volumes, it has a huge impact on the total revenue that Russia is earning. And this is one of the challenges for 2023. As Russia loses more of its markets as the EU bans come into place, it's going to struggle to be able to keep up its volumes at the same time as its prices are falling. And of course, this is a global issue at the moment because the price of oil is generally coming down right now because of concerns over the global economy. When we see a slowdown in economic activity, that means there's a fall in demand for oil, and that generally brings the oil price down. So Russia is obviously facing major challenges right now in terms of maintaining its revenues. It's lost the majority of its pipeline gas sales to Europe over the course of the last 6 months, and it's likely that over the course of 2023, those sales will diminish further. And in addition to that, it's also facing challenges trying to maintain the volume of oil that it's exporting, which is important in terms of the amount it's producing, as we've discussed before on the channel. If it has to cut production, that could cause major problems in the future. But it's trying to find new markets for that volume at the same time as the price is falling. And of course, that's going to bring down total revenue. Russia's budget for 2022 assumes an increase in defense spending to almost 5 trillion rubles, which is around 17% of total expenditure, which compares to the original budgeted figure for 2023 of 3.5 trillion rubles. In addition to this, spending on national security is also forecast to increase to 4.4 trillion rubles, representing around 15% of total expenditure, which compares to the original forecast of 3 trillion. So compared to the figures for 2022, Russia is planning to spend significantly more on the war in Ukraine and national defense, at a time when revenue is likely to come under pressure as a result of all of the factors that we've just been through. So it's likely that the deficit that's just been announced for 2022 of 3.3 trillion rubles or $47 billion is likely to be significantly higher in 2023. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because we've been talking a lot about what's going on in Russia in terms of the revenues and the costs and the budget and how things are looking. And we've now seen the details for 2022. And as expected, Russia has posted a large deficit. This is actually the largest deficit in their history, if you exclude what happened during the COVID pandemic, which was an exceptional period because every country in the world basically shut down and stopped. So I don't think that's representative of a normal year. That is really an anomaly. So if we exclude that, this is the worst single year in their history. But when you look at what's going on right now in terms of the revenues for Russia, the trends are not looking good. They're seeing reductions in terms of volume of exports because they're having to move everything by ship much further distances. They're having to find all of those vessels. They're also having to find buyers. So they're persuading India to start buying large volumes of Russian oil. And the way that they've been persuading India to do that is by offering large discounts. And when you combine reductions in volumes with large discounts, that has a massive impact on your revenues. And we're starting to see that kicking in now. The data that we looked at, the charts, show that now that the ban is in place for seaborne crude oil, there's been a massive reduction in EU purchases. They're now going to zero. And it's likely that refined products will follow suit. And as we saw from all of the data, the vast majority of all of Russia's income is still coming from the EU. There's been a lot of talk about the increase in the volumes to India and China, but they're not equating to revenue. We've seen the data. The data tells us that most of the revenue in 2022 came from the EU. And even in the 7 days after the 26th of November, so after the crude oil ban came into place, the EU was still Russia's biggest single customer. So once that disappears, Russia is going to be in a world of pain. It's going to really struggle to be able to replace that revenue. And at the same time as it's got falling revenue, they're having to increase their expenditure because the war in Ukraine is becoming more expensive and is continuing to go on and is likely to drag on for at least the next 6, possibly 12 months, unless there's some form of peace agreement that's announced overnight. So that's going to put a lot of pressure on the Russian economy. And the way that they're funding all of this deficit is by issuing more bonds and drawing down on the national wealth fund. And both of those things are going to drive up inflation in Russia. So that's going to cause a major problem in the economy over the course of 2023. So we've got a combination of factors here. We've got a reduction in revenue, got an increase in expenditure, we've got an increase in debt, and we've got a reduction in the national wealth fund. So none of those things are going to be good news for the Russian economy. So as we go through 2023, more and more pressure is going to be applied on the Russian economy, and it'll be really interesting to see how things pan out. So hopefully you've enjoyed today's episode, you found it interesting, useful and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up and thank you for watching this video all the way through to the end.